for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture of PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in the games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X, still dumb. All those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit without logos on it. What's going on, man?
Not much.
Yeah, what's that?
Sick.
You think you're getting sick? That's not good. Is it that COVID?
No, that apparently super yo-yo flu that's coming in and out.
Oh, brutal. Brutal.
Yeah. Should be right.
Yeah, so because I had my son with me a couple extra days this week, so because his mum, she got COVID, and she's like, I can't function. My head hurts. And, hang on. Still in last place, disappointing. So currently in the other room, we're about almost finished the season on our four-way GM mode with Ange, myself, and Craig, and my partner Phoebe. I'm currently in last place. I got pooed on, and I'm not liking it.
Oh.
Huh?
Huh? What?
Very nice.
I didn't say where you belong. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you, MGB, for the subscription with the Prime as well. Much appreciated. So I had my kid a couple extra days this week because, you know, his mum was all full of COVID. So that was lovely. That was a great way to spend the start of my week. He was excited. He didn't really care. Mum's got COVID. Don't care. I'm hanging out at dad's for a couple extra days. This is awesome. He's having the best life. But I'm glad you haven't got that, but you're a bit under the weather. Yeah? No?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Very nice.
Should be right.
Very double noise.
What else is bleeping and blooping at me? And that's Max, me. Literally you.
We're looking at hype train. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, appreciate the hype train. I can't remember the last time we had a hype train. Jesus. But just feeling fluey, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, my kid's been sick for like a week and a half, and she's got this. We ended up taking her to the doctor's on Saturday because when she woke up, she complained of that her ear was sore. So we took her to the doctor, and the doctor's like, "Yeah, that's so inflamed. I would anticipate it bursting either today or tomorrow. Here's some antibiotics. Good luck."
Wow.
So she's like full on fucking chest phlegm, gross ear, snotty as fuck. My wife's been sick for the last week, and I've just been dodging it like a champion, and finally. I let my guard down and got hit.
I don't think you let your guard down. I think you just exposed. Like, your own immune system could only take so much, and then it just crumbled. You just couldn't maintain it.
It's been a week.
Yeah. I feel a little bit ratchet today, but, like, mostly because I had a wrestling show yesterday. We did... GCW, Game Changer Wrestling out of the US, came over to Australia to do a combined show with Renegades of Wrestling. So I did work of that one last night. Got home a bit late, so I'm a little tired. Did not drink enough water yesterday at all. And then I got really, and then super dehydrated. So I felt like I wanted to die. Reverend Puck goes, Maki Ito. Yes, I did see Maki Ito in person. And because I worked the show, I got to meet her earlier in the day. Lovely. She's tiny. No, it was a really, really good show. Renegades Wrestling are like very clearly like one of the best promotions in Australia. And last night was just the production level was was absolutely redonkulous. Other than that, not a whole lot to report this week on our external things outside of the Vidya games. So let's just get straight into them Vidya games. Now, we did touch upon it a little bit last week. Now, I don't think I touched it by the time we recorded last week, but I have now. That's a bad sentence. And you've touched all over it, Max. It's getting worse. Let's talk Immortals of Avium. So thank you to the team over at EA Australia. We will provide a review code of Immortals of Avium. And we've been messing about with it a little bit. And now this is one that you were the most keen for.
Mm.
So how's it coming together for you?
So I'm in like chapter 7 or 8 now. So I'm about twice as far in as I was last week. I find myself getting very easily distracted because there are puzzles all over the world, like everywhere. There's just puzzles to get different loot and stuff like that. So I spent like a good hour the other night trying to work out a puzzle that I realized that I just didn't have the required spells to complete it. So that was fun. I spent about an hour banging my head against the wall going, come on, this should work. And it's just, couldn't figure it out. And then I'm like, oh, it's just probably because I haven't unlocked something yet. I should probably just go and do what I need to do and then come back at a later date. But they're everywhere. Mm. There was one where one of the green powers that you get fairly early on allows you to essentially bring inanimate objects to life and move them around to use them as platforms.
Mm.
So I was lifting platforms, slowing them down, raising other platforms and doing jumping puzzles whilst shooting magic and manipulating the terrain around me to get to different places. And it's like, you got a wristband. I'm like, yeah, wristband. Love me some loot.
Ooh, you got a small accessory, like, woo!
I've had a few more boss fights now. Yep. The combat is still... it's like this weird mixture between like a Call of Duty campaign and Doom. Mm. It's very fast paced, high action. But they're quite clearly set up as kind of like kill rooms, like in Doom. So you'll have a bit where you're just strolling through the world. You can do puzzles, you can do other things that you find, but there's no enemies for a while. And then you clearly get into what is an arena and then a bunch of enemies will spawn in.
Yeah.
You'll deal with that. And then it's calm again for a while. Which is not necessarily a bad thing. It gives you room to breathe, because there is a lot going on in the screen. Because obviously you are Triarch, so you have access to red, blue, and green magic. So you're constantly changing changing weapons is probably not a good term. Like changing which color of magic school of magic that you're using. You're constantly doing that because each individual enemy comes with its own advantages and disadvantages. So, you know, if they've got shields, you want to use blue magic to break the shields. If they're bigger enemies, you want to use red magic because it's more powerful. It stuns them. Green is your faster shoot, but weaker magic. Think of it like a submachine gun versus an assault rifle versus a shotgun. You've got those that paper scissors rock style that so many games use and employ to such a good advantage. The story's progressing very nicely. I've now met the BBEG.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of sort of know the motivations behind what's going on in the world as to why this eternal war is going on and how that's affecting the world as a whole, both the environment itself and the peoples who reside there. It's cool. It's very interesting. And especially considering the fact that this is a first, obviously this team is a newly formed team. This is their first game that they've released, mm-hmm. but a lot of them are ex Call of Duty developers, and you can really see that coming through in this game, how it's designed. Again, not that that's a bad thing, but I'm digging it. I'm really enjoying my time with it.
Well, that's good. So like I said, I've not certainly had that same amount of time with it as you've had. Like I think that's probably like 45 minutes ish, to be honest. Because I was kind of a bit busy this week, so I didn't really play it during the week, and then obviously with this weekend being like wrestling, like doing the work, I sort of didn't give it the time I wanted. But yeah, in the early time, the first things I noticed is like that opening world is really cool. So, you know, you're essentially this character who's like on like the slums under this, living under this bridge. Yeah, and like that sort of world building and how you traverse is very interesting. And then they sort of sprinkle in these magic abilities, as you mentioned, Max. So like, yeah, I'm still super early days. I'm just starting to get into understand the characters. The first thing I did have to do is like drop the sensitivity a bit. Like I understand with the Doom-based gameplay, like be able to dip, you know, dip, dive, and dodge. It worked, you know, to have that sensitivity higher. But like I just found it was a little cranked in with my old man reflexes. So I did have to bring that down a smidge. But like it looks great. You know, the Wizard of the World looks endearing. So once again, playing on PS5. I don't have an issue with the main character yet. Like they do have a little bit of that movie scripted wit. You know, that just, you know, like everyone seems to have like the best quirky answer. And I think they've done that almost on purpose because it kind of feels like that's the, it doesn't have like the forespoken level.
Like
of
a little bit further on from where you are, you kind of find, he reveals his motivations as to why he's doing what he's doing. Mm. And it's very cliche. It's not out.
But the thing that I've seen is most interesting is like this game is reviewing very interestingly. Like now we don't do numbers here on the show and we never have. But like it's getting somewhere between sixes and nines. Like it's getting a real big spectrum of answers. And I think like, yeah, A for being the first of its kind. Now I'm not going to make conclusive statements because I haven't finished it or even really got into it. But like, it looks to be, you know, it's a new IP. It's something a little bit different. Like using magic like guns isn't new, but there's a little bit here that's kind of new. And it's good to see EA, you know, support an IP that doesn't align with their usual sportsings, which is their pretty much their common game. I guess like for you, Max, like, because you know, you were the most hyped coming into this. Because the second you saw it, you were like, I want this. I want to play the fuck out of this. Like, I'm in. Is it so? It is meeting that expectation so far?
Yeah, so far. Depending on where the story goes, it could be hit or miss.
Yeah.
But at the moment, so far, the story's been pretty banger. All right.
And the game,
enjoying where it's going.
Because yeah, you're much more of a gameplay person than myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I mentioned it last week. I think my only concern was the fact that it was so ridiculously sensitive, and I still haven't found a setting that like works well.
Oh, okay.
If I could have three different sensitivities for each of the three magic types, would be amazing.
That'd be interesting.
I also, granted, I haven't gone through the menus too hard, but I also wish there was a way where I could pick and choose which color I was changing to, as opposed to just hitting triangle and it's cycling through a pre-existing wheel that goes from green, red, and blue. I wish I didn't have to hit triangle twice to get from green to blue. I wish I could just like maybe open a radial wheel and flick it back other way.
Very similar to how like Ghost of Tsushima, as you know, you'd be able to switch between stances.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be pretty handy.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. Anything else you've been playing this week, my friend?
And not that I can talk about.
Yeah.
Not that I can talk about. I've still been playing Baldur's Gate 3. It's still great. I'm still in Act 1 after about 50 hours.
Jesus.
I'm slowly getting there.
Yeah.
But basically, at the back end of Act 1, you have to go to a certain location. It's like, there is two ways you could do it. You can go this way or that way. And I chose both. So once I went one way, I kind of backtracked and went the other way because I don't want to miss out on anything.
Mm.
So it's just taking me a while to get through it.
But are you still enjoying it even though you're 50 hours in and still only in Act 1?
Yes, it is so good. It's so good. It's so good. Microsoft and Phil Spencer went back on their word about parity on their consoles.
Oh, is it got locked in?
It's coming out this year, but not coming with split screen for the Series S because it's a piece of garbage.
Checks out.
So it'll run two different versions of the game on each console.
Interesting.
Because one can't support it and the other one can.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that parody thing, you know, because what, you know, like the entire deal around Activision's purchase. Yeah, Call of Duty and Activision purchase entirely around the idea they could do parody amongst consoles. And they can't even do it within their own system. Get out of here, you sneaky dogs.
Good times.
Good times indeed. But yeah, myself, not really played a whole lot. Excuse me. I saw that little bit of Immortals. I think the thing the game that I've played the most of this week would be Palia again. I guess because I spend a lot of my time out here at my desk for my day job, working from home. Like, I'll play a little bit in the morning, I'll play a little bit at the end of work, and like very quickly I'm like, oh, I'm stacking up some hours in here. Now, granted, like, I'm not like super deep into it, like, because obviously being an MMO, the grind is real. But I'm like, I'm getting there. I'm slowly building up on all my different skills, whether it be, you know, my farming or my mining or my fishing or my cooking or my building furniture, all the things Max is like.
I literally played it for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half when it released. And I'm like, this is a Betson game and uninstall it. this is not for me.
Like, I don't need this at all. What's that? Max is a bit loud. God damn that, Max. He is coming through a bit hot. I think you might be a bit closer to your mic, or it might be a bit mixed up. I just brought you down a bit. Then it'll balance off.
All my kids fiddled with the knobs on the fucking mixer.
Yeah, okay. Could be that. There we go. I'll bring you down a smidge. There we go. But yeah, so speaking of the Mullet Show, like, compared to the Mullet Show, who's like, you know, really sat down and done some hard grind on Palia, he's all, you know, got all the level sevens and all these things, and he's you know, got the higher tools and stuff. And the problem that
pay to win,
no, there's no pay to win, but that you can get cool cosmetics and stuff, but you know, and then you get pets which are locked behind cosmetics. But so it's like the only catch that I'm having with it at the moment is I haven't worked out the best way to increase my revenue. Like, because I guess by design, every time you get a lump sum or you have an accumulated sum of money, like, you feel like it's gone instantly because you're always working on upgrades. And then you've got to find the best way to, you know, recoup that sum of money to then buy on something else again. So, like, it does feel like the grind to even say a couple thousand dollars is harder than it should be. But once again, with an MMO strategy, if you just play it for a while, if you the more hours you put in, because like when it comes to your crops, that's, you know, 3 in-game days, which really isn't all that long. It's not super quick, but it's not super long either. So you could very quickly get multiple yields pretty quick. You can just go do your mining or your fishing and flip all the fish, or the go bug hunting and just sell all the bugs. If you're either of those things, you probably recruit money a bit quicker. But it is, once again, that's just the grind of the MMO. Where he's trying to build that currency up. But outside of that, not a whole lot. As I mentioned, the WWE 2K23 GM mode is still part of our regular Thursday night staples. However, it did spill into our Sunday today for no real reason, just because we could. We are currently doing our world title, which is, as I mentioned, the four of us. And I am sitting in last place, not too stoked about it. The Mullet Show is the current champion, but we are, what, 2 weeks away from our pay-per-view? 3 weeks, maybe? And because the belt does change hands at the pay-per-view. However, Ange is currently sitting in first position. He's got a 50,000 fans lead on me, who's in fourth place. So I'm out. I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to, unless, like, and even if they get no fans over the next 3 weeks on the show, I ain't coming out champ. So I'm going to go and just sabotage everyone, fuck everyone's day up.
That's the spirit.
And then by staying in last position, I get a better draft pick. So that's pretty cool. Shout out to me. Other than that, yeah, not a whole lot on the gaming side of things. Still haven't picked up WrestleQuest. So that was what I wanted to check out. Haven't happened yet. Once again, seeing as I should be playing Immortals, haven't been playing that. I'm like, I'm not going to spend the money on the WrestleQuest just yet, but I'll come back to it. All right, speaking of things we're not quite sure about whether we want to spend the money on it, let's get into the section we call Inform the Plays.
I'm very much decided on not spending money on this.
So let's get to the section we call Inform the Plays. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Straight off the bat, in that PlayStation news, let's talk about those accessories that are coming out, Max.
PlayStation Portal is the big one. So let's talk about it. So Sony's recently revealed Remote Play Handheld now has an official name and price tag. The PlayStation Portal will be selling for around $200 US, and it will let you stream your PlayStation 5 straight to the palm of your hands via Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi only. Only does the share play thing. It comes with an 8-inch LCD screen that boasts a 1080p resolution. Supports up to 60 frames per second. Meanwhile, the Portal's controller parts are based on the DualSense, providing the device with adaptive triggers and haptic feedback. It has a 3.5mm audio jack, so you can stick headphones in there. Sony does go on to note that games that stream through PlayStation Plus Premium are not supported on the PlayStation Portal. The same is true of PSVR 2 titles, but that was obvious because it's a VR game. So you can't stream the streamed games. You
Which can makes only sense because you've got delay on delay. So that makes sense.
So it is a very, very expensive way to do what we can already do with other devices that we already own.
Yeah. So, what's your thoughts, Max? You've kept it so vague.
Ooh. Fucking big old no for me. It's a big old no for me. I mean, to be fair, even if this had the capability of like having some 3G, 4G, 5G compatibility and allowing me to fucking play games outside my house, still wouldn't do it. The slightest drop in the slightest delay gives me the shits at the best of times, and this just seems like a hot mess.
Yeah, like the thing that I discussed last time we spoke about this was I get mad when I can't, like I try to remote play from my PlayStation to my bedroom to my phone and it shits itself because it goes network instability, and it's right there. Like the distance is not an issue. And what we're expecting this device to do better than fucking network. Like the phone network, 5G network. Hey, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on. Or even local Wi-Fi. And
most people can do this. You can pair your fucking DualSense to your phone.
Yeah.
Or an iPad or any device that you probably already own and have in your house. You can already do this without having to spend an extra $200 to do so.
Yeah, look, I think this fits within the same world as the new accessories, which we'll get to in just a moment.
But like the other thing is, they're claiming that the battery life on this bad boy is going to last as long as a DualSense controller,
which is anywhere from
like 4 to 8 hours,
if you're lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I play with mine permanently plugged in, so
yeah, and it's not trying to power a screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. But look, okay, so hey, look, as you mentioned, you can sync your DualSense to fucking almost anything. Like, that should, like, that resolves that problem for this, right? Like, it's, oh, cool. If it's the idea of just, playing it in the house with a device, well, then that, having the screen not have any sort of usage outside of talking to your PlayStation, it's a bit disappointing. Like, I understand, in order for it to do anything replicable to, say, the Steam Deck, it's going to be stupidly larger and way more expensive. So there's no chance we're going to get something like that. But even then, like, PlayStation have long left the handheld market. Like, they had the Vita out, they let it die. you know, and there's no trust that even if they were to bring a more dedicated handheld or something similar to say that of a Steam Deck or an equivalent, we're seeing with the VR2, right? Like they're already backing down on things that they have to support the crap out of it and haven't. But the thing that one of the interesting things about this Portal Max is, so you mentioned that it's got the 3.5mm jack, which so you can put your wired headphones in there. However, it doesn't have, like, it has Bluetooth, but not as you think it does. It has this like PlayStation sound or Sony sound or something. Forget what it's called. SoundLink.
Audio link. Or yeah, it's
where it's this almost proprietary wireless connection. That
it's literally called PlayStation Link.
Yeah, PlayStation Link. There you go. Where it connects to like only PlayStation devices naturally. So whether it be the new headphones that we'll be discussing or the new earbuds, that is a little bit shit. That's a bit shit. Joe Ben asked in the chat, odds of Amazon dropping off my Starfield Constellation Edition before 10 a.m. on Friday? None. Absolute none. You have way more faith in Amazon than Amazon does. And Max, we keep hinting upon these new accessories. What are these other accessories? So alongside the newly named PlayStation Portal, which we just discussed, Sony has also lifted the veil on some new official accessories. The company is introducing some premium wireless headphones named the Pulse Elite, and a set of wireless earbuds, which we've seen already, named the Pulse Explore. The Pulse Elite is an over-ear headset that offers, quote, lossless audio, end quote, and comes with built-in retractable microphone. It also boosts AI-enhanced noise rejection, which aims to eliminate background noise from your voice channel. In the box with the headset comes a charging hanger that you can store your headphones nicely and ensure they're always powered. Where the Pulse Explore is PlayStation's first stab at wireless earbuds, and they offer a similar experience to that of the Elite headphones. They feature dual microphones, the same noise rejection tech, lossless audio, and they come packaged with a charging case. The Pulse Elites will set you back $149.99 US, while the Pulse Explore earbuds cost $199 US, or on when and where you can choose from. However, there is no currently supported date. So as Max mentioned, work, stupid mouse. These headphones will be making use of the PlayStation Link, which is a technology that works to streamline wireless audio. Quote, the innovation delivers low latency, lossless audio, and easy switching between multiple PlayStation Link hosts, such as PS5 with the USB adapter, PlayStation Portable, the PSA blogs. The USB adapter, which comes included with the device, is required when using Pulse Elite and Pulse Explore with PS5, PC, or Mac. And it will also be available to buy separately if you wanted to use it on a other device. Interestingly, these audio devices can connect simultaneously to PlayStation Link and a Bluetooth device. So the example given is that having headphones hooked up to your PS5 via the adapter while also connected to your smartphone via Bluetooth. This allows you to take calls through the headsets or the earbuds, which is also pretty neat. So they're going to be fucking expensive.
Yeah. I mean, granted, their peripherals always are.
Yeah.
First off. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like if those in-ear, like the Pulse Explore earbuds are, you know, at all good, $200 isn't too bad for in-ear wireless headbuds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're it looking depends. At spending like some those. Brands yeah, I mean, you're looking at, I mean, you're looking at spending those for a pair of Sony earbuds or Samsung Galaxy buds or fucking AirPods, for Christ's sake. Like,
that is very true.
If they are good, relatively speaking, that's a pretty average price. Mm. Now, if they're garbage, then obviously that's, you know, different kettle of fish. But until they come out, we won't know.
Yeah.
What we should mention is the next story does kind of tie into this. So I'm just gonna run it real quickly. So Sony Interactive Entertainment has acquired them now, a company called Audies. It's a company specializing in audio technology and headphones.
They specialize in all these technologies.
Yeah. The cost of the acquisition has not been disclosed. Audies manufactures several lines of high-end headphones, including gaming headsets, and it also develops its own audio tech, such as its own planar magnetic technology, which are found in these two, which is found in the wireless earbuds, not the Pulse Elite. So when the acquisition closes, Audius will fall under the Sony Interactive Entertainment umbrella, but it will continue to operate independently and make multi-platform devices whilst, quote, benefiting from being part of the PlayStation ecosystem. Sony's Hideaki Nishino talks up the company in a statement on the deal, quote, Audius is a premier brand for headphones, and this acquisition highlights Sony Interactive's focus on innovation and providing the best audio experience to PlayStation players. We're excited to bring Audius's expertise into the PlayStation ecosystem, building on the great strides we've made with PlayStation 5's Tempest 3D audio tech and the Pulse 3D wireless headset. So, much like their other more recent acquisitions in, Bungie, Nixxis, they are purchasing people that will help further bolster their already...
They're building a bigger picture... With studios and companies that
will benefit them in the long run.
Yeah, they support each other, they help each other, right? Rather than just buying everything for the sake of buying everything. There is some tactics in here. Now, I don't know this brand. Are you aware of Audius?
I had never heard of them until I saw this article.
Yeah, and then you do a Google and you go, Jesus Christ, is expensive headphones.
And then I Googled them and I'm like, they're fucking $900 headphones.
Yeah.
They've priced, that's why I haven't heard of them. They've priced me out.
Yeah, I look at that and I go, when I saw them, I'm like, oh, there's no wonder, because I sit here going, oh man, those already Sony headphones are pretty expensive. Oh no. Those Audio Technica headphones are pretty expensive. Oh, those still... like, I'm like, all right, this is not my demo at all. Like, these are hardcore audiophile headphones. So I guess the assumption here is they have purchased them with the intent of supporting, whether it be upper class, for lack of a better term. I can't think of the right word.
Well, hopefully they purchase them just to make slightly better stuff, because I wasn't overly impressed with the last renditions of the Pulse headset,
which I still have. They're over there because I was going to flip them, but I never did. But they were a bit flat and a bit poo, and they were fine. But if they can
really
sort of
uncomfortable.
So they
just felt weird on my head.
So if they can take the technologies or the patents or whichever that this company owns, and bring it into the team, maybe they can create sort of like less super high-end versions of them and release them within PlayStation, or additionally, release like the highest range headphones that you can buy. So PlayStation have always in a lot of ways tried to set themselves as the boutique console brand comparatively to say Nintendo and Xbox. And I think that's kind of what they're doubling down on here. And like, in some ways that's good, but in some ways it's bad. Like, as we're discussing with the Portal. I love the idea that if they've able to create some proprietary wireless system that allows for lossless audio, that's pretty insane. Seeing as, the second you do anything wireless, you get some form of compression. So I'm curious, and then if you're, say, using the Portal and you already have a latency because you're streaming from your PlayStation, if you want to use wireless headphones, you best get something that has no additional lag again. So it does explain, like, potentially why they've not got Bluetooth. They've got this proprietary nonsense on there. But that sounds like you're removing a common technology to try to make sense of the shitty decision you made of releasing the Portal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? But yeah, I guess, as you mentioned, like, it's in that position where it's a little bit priced out for us. That's very unlikely that we'll be able to get any Audius headphones ever. But if it does make things slightly better here, like, so I'm probably not going to pick up the Pulse Elite because I have the regular Pulses and I never use them. Oh, actually, no, I lie. I use them all the time. They're in the lounge room. They're fine. Like, because I use them to primarily play games with my son, and I don't even think about it. Like, I don't use them because they sound good. I just use them because they're there. Like, the Steel Series
Not that I can complain. I'm also sitting on a pair of like $700 Steel Series headphones, yeah. But
Yeah, so you're like, oh, they priced me out. Yeah, I have never spent more.
They haven't completely priced me out.
Yeah, I've never spent more than like $250 on headphones. So like, I was priced out before you were even like, Before we jump into the next bit of news, Jerdman in the chat does jump in and ask the question: any hype for Baldur's Gate 3 on PlayStation? For me, yes. For me,
I'm already playing. For me, I've been playing it for years on PC, and I'm still hyped.
Yeah, Max has been playing it, and he's stoked on it. So, like, for me, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna grab it on the PlayStation because I wouldn't mind playing it on the PC, and I think it probably may run best. But having not played it myself, I'm not sure whether the mentality that's required to play that game might be better sitting at a desk. I mean, because at least for me, if I'm sitting in a couch, you know, reclined, sitting with leaning back, pressing like a controller, like that's a different mindset to be in. So like, does that make any sense? You play everything at your desk, so.
I play everything at my desk. So I can't really, I hate playing games sitting on a couch.
Fascinating. I much prefer it. Like, because I work.
To be fair, it depends on what game. Like, if I'm playing like fucking Jackbox or something, then like, sure, I can sit on a couch and play.
Yeah.
But for the games that I play like on a day to day basis, I would hate sitting on a couch and playing them.
See, but I think the difference is you don't have an office job. You don't have a desk job.
I just don't like change. I also don't like playing games on my shitty TV.
Yeah.
Well, I got a new TV, but I just, like I said, any delay in what I'm seeing to what the screen is showing me, or to what I'm doing on a controller as to what the screen is showing me, just irks me.
Yeah, but yeah, if it's one of those things, it's the same thing. If you've always had shitty TVs, it would make sense. Like, I've always had shitty headphones, so the idea of $700 headphones is insane to me. But yeah. If PlayStation Australia are interested, hey, hang on, I would be open to giving these accessories a burl, but I'm not going to rush out and grab them myself. So, and also I hate earbuds for some reason. They just never sit well in my ears.
My Audio-Technica earbuds broke while I was at work this week. I'm fucking shattered. I think I need to go and get a new pair of in-ear earbuds for work.
Oh, no. Well, I think I
should have
that.
It's funny. So my Audio-Technica ones, the left earpiece is blown completely. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And the right one's starting to die. And I bought Samsung Galaxy Buds a couple of years back. And the right one's completely gone, but the left one still works. So I've just got two half-working fucking headsets that drive me insane.
I've got the one that they sent me, and I don't use it. You want it?
Yes, please. All right, done. If you're not using them, I'll take them.
Cool. We'll do an exchange.
Are you gonna still be awake on my way to work?
I can leave my porch.
I don't go that way. But I might come. I'll come and visit you during the week.
Okay, there you go.
Nice. It's like, oh, it's such a pain. All right, what's next? What's next? PlayStation TV rumors.
Ooh.
So if you head over to the official website for PlayStation Productions, the company that's been established to adapt video games for the big and small screen, you will find a short video under the heading, quote, Our Mission. The video is a promotional clip that talks up the identity and goals of the PlayStation Productions, with various well-known PlayStation characters featuring throughout. Partway through the video, you can quite clearly see the spindly legs of Sir Dan. All other franchises represented in the video have either already received an adaptation or are confirmed to be happening. The other big character that's in this that hasn't been announced anywhere else is Deacon St. John.
Yes!
So, since this post has made it to the artist formerly known as Twitter, a couple of writers for film and television have teased their involvement. Chris Amick and Ben Meckler, both of whom wrote on series such as Kung Fu Panda, The Dragon Knight, Kippo, and The Age of Wonderbeasts, and Final Space, have both reacted to the post, suggesting some involvement.
All right, so first of all, medieval, cool, rad. It's great, great stylistically. So like, if you were to make a TV series about it, you'd probably do well, because it's got a good, very good, unique design. And medieval's cool. Well, you know, the whole gimmick of he's a knight, but he's shit. Everyone misremembers his stories. Very cool. But the Days Gone part gets me way more excited. Like, granted, we've just had The Last of Us in terms of a series about, like, infected people. So, that's a bum. But, like, Days Gone is so good. Like, the story of Days Gone is mint. It's so fucking good. I'd much rather that than a medieval if I got given the choice. But I think they'll hit different demos. Are you a medieval man?
I like medieval. I haven't played Days Gone yet. Things that I need to go back to. I originally first started when it was part of the PlayStation Collection, back when I got my PS5. And I think I mentioned it on the show. It starts so slow.
It does, yeah.
And it lost me.
Oh. Well, the PC port, Max, is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So maybe, maybe check it out on the PC instead?
Maybe. I mean, if it's still just as slow, it's not going to help me.
No. But it's going to look better. It's going to run smooth as a button.
It's still installed on my PlayStation 5. It's just been one of those things where, I don't want to have to watch the first season for it to get good.
Who plays games that, like, it's not good until they get 45 hours in, eat my asshole. The Days Gone is great. Sit through it. But yeah, there you go. Medieval would be pretty cool. Give me some Days Gone. All right, Max, let's get into this fucking big bit. So Gamescom opening night live happened this week. And because Jeff Keighley rests for no one, as the producer / presenter, has three major beats every year. And the next one is the Game Awards, which is early December, 7th of December. But here are the main things that came out of Opening Night Live and Gamescom.
So most of this, I will preface this, most of this, there was more than this announcement. I think this is the stuff that just pertains to mainly PlayStation stuff.
Yeah, obviously. Because
there's all the stuff that is coming.
Yeah, things that are outside PlayStation, we don't really cover them as much comparatively. So it's not kind of within our need to look at them. There we go. All right, so first up was Black Myth Wukong, got itself a new gameplay trailer. Crimson Desert got itself a new gameplay trailer.
Yeah, have you seen the trailer? Just
quickly. I've heard about it.
It looks way too good to be true.
All right, let's have a squiz.
It looks mint.
Will you tell me about it while I pull it up?
It just looks like one of those massive, crazy open world RPGs, and it's just got like some of the best graphics I've ever seen. It looks like they're just trying to put so much stuff into it. It seems unfeasible that they can deliver on all their promises.
Oh wow! Ooh. Because I'm watching it on the 4K 60, like. It's moving with speed.
Well, Ryan,
that guy gets a big old rock bottom in the middle of a courtyard.
Yeah. So Yeah.
I don't think it'll be like that on release, but all right.
I know, right? I'm getting cyberpunked.
Yeah, we were a little bit, yeah. Next up was Little Nightmares 3. So Little Nightmares 1 and 2 were awesome. I think they were made by... Oh, who were they made by? They were put through Square. I forget the name of the studio. But however, it's a different studio with number 3. Number 3, it's Supermassive, which is going to be interesting. Supermassive, best known for...
It was Tarsier Studios.
There you go. Thank you very much. Yeah, this is done by Supermassive, which is best known for like Until Dawn, the anthologies.
And it's co-op.
Because in Little Nightmares 2, they introduce a second little dude that you can hang out with, and then now they have a second little dude again, and it's co-op. So yes, please, gimme, I wants to play it, and I will. Tekken 8 gets a confirmed release date of January 8th, and I also mentioned there'll be some new modes as well as some returning characters. I want that game so fucking bad. They also showed off their the collector's edition, which has this awesome Jin statue with his like one wing, looking sick. Next up was Honkai Star Rail. is getting a PS5 tech test, and this is one of those weebies of shit games, isn't it, Max?
It's the new game from HoYoverse, Genshin Impact.
And gross. Zenless Zone Zero got itself a new trailer.
Another game similar to Genshin Impact and all that stuff.
Gross. Cyberpunk 2077 got a 2.0 update, and the gameplay did show some of the changes. Now, I've not dived too deep into the 2.0, man, because like Cyberpunk is one of those ones, I'm pretty sure it's still installed on my console, where I'm like, oh yeah, I think I might give this another go. Now it's on PS5.
One of my friends, Zill, he played through it so many times, he got like 3 or 4 of the endings. He absolutely loved it.
Wow.
That was crazy. And this is a guy who never finishes games. He finished it 4 times. I'm pretty sure he save scummed for the different endings, but
whatever. Yeah, still did it. Well, yeah, it's not outside. It's not outside of Zill.
Yeah,
be sweaty about it, but that's cool. Yeah. So Grand Blue Fantasy Relink is getting release date of February 2024. Sonic Superstars, which is a new co-op game, coming in October. Sonic Frontiers: The Final Horizon gets a story DLC free in the month of September. Alan Wake 2 got itself a new trailer, and we also learnt that it got delayed 10 days from the 17th of October through to the 27th, presumably to get the way out of Spoods, but also it gets a little bit closer to that Halloween too, which is...
No, they literally said it was to get it away from Spoods.
Oh, did they really say it?
Yeah, they literally said it.
Fucking sweethearts. Wow, absolute legends. More Mortal Kombat 1 character announcements, which is Shao Kahn and Sindel. Does that mean something to you? Because I have no idea they are.
Yeah, they're Shao Kahn's the emperor of our world, and Sindel was the previous ruler.
Oh, okay.
The chick with the crazy long hair.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And Shao Kahn's the big beefy guy from the movie.
Oh, yeah, I know that dude. Now, yeah, there we go. Cool. Yeah, I've always been Tekken over. Yeah, we've discussed this 1,000 times. The Crew Motor Fest is getting a free trial period when it launches on the PlayStation 5 and the PS4. Lords of the Fallen got itself a new story trailer.
That looks great.
Yeah.
I'm so keen on that game. It's gone gold.
Yeah, apparently the first one was a bit shithole. So
it was. It was like, it was fine, but it wasn't, yeah. It wasn't anything to write home about, but this looks mint.
The first Descendants got itself a new gameplay trailer. Thank goodness you're here gets a trailer. I don't think it's the same, based on the same Channel 10 show. Thank God you're here.
The first Descendants is also getting an open beta on the 17th of September for PlayStation.
Ooh, like all these open betas that are going on right now. It's good stuff. Warhammer RTS gets Realms of Ruin gets PS5 gameplay with a trailer due on the 17th of November.
Sorry, it got a gameplay trailer. It's due out on the 17th of November.
That makes more sense.
How dare.
Because while they announce a trailer 3 months in advance.
Forgive my shorthand.
Yeah. Dustborn gets a trailer coming early 2024. And we get Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 campaign trailer gameplay. So
it was like 10 minutes. I think it was like 10 minutes of gameplay of the campaign.
Yeah. So it's where they showed off that, you know, the campaign isn't as linear as it once was, and there's little moments like little faux and worldy sort of shit. I don't know. Look, I haven't watched much out of Gamescom this year because, as expected, I didn't think there'd be anything that would really jump out at me, and there really isn't anything here. Like Alan Wake 2, you've already got my attention. I don't need to see another trailer, even though I really should go back and finish number 1.
You actually should watch it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean that as in, like, I'm going to play it. So, like, you know.
Yeah.
I appreciate the release date for Tekken 8. Little Nightmares 3, I don't need to see it to know that I want to play it. I just read the email that came through. But, yeah, was there anything that jumped out at you, Max?
Black Myth Wukong, obviously coming out of the China Hero Project, the big old Dark Souls-style game. Crimson Desert, if it can live up to expectations. This isn't the first time I've seen it. I think it was showcased a few years back. Obviously, Alan Wake 2, Mortal Kombat stuff's great. Lords of the Fallen has got me intrigued. I think that comes out in like a month or two. I'm really keen on that. The first Descendants is awesome. It's kind of like a Destiny Monster Hunter-style gameplay, except it's 4-player co-op instead of 3-player co-op, which just makes a world of difference. I have played that already. There was an open beta on PC back a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, Call of Duty's Call of Duty. Other than that, not too much, really. Just half the things that were announced.
Well, that's good, because I think you certainly have a little wider taste than I do, and mostly because I know I'm really shitty and I don't play a lot of games. I play games. I mean, like, as in, like, what I find what I scope out, and I go, yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, for sure.
Pardon me.
Oh, well, in the quick bits, there might be something that you're interested in, Ryan.
Oh, yeah?
So, as we alluded to, Alan Wake 2 has been delayed from the 17th to the 27th of October. According to prolific leaker The Snitch, God of War Ragnarok DLC is 60% complete to be released next year.
Oh, shit. You knocked the wind out of me. This is exciting.
They're doing a Cooking Mama style spin-off called Baldur's Plate.
Hey, I like that one too. That'd be pretty cool. They're doing like this interesting peripheral based version. You know, God of War Rock and Roll, Ragnarok and Roll.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Look, it's one of those things. I look at this, I'm like, do I want a DLC? Yes. Like, but it's interesting because, like, Eric Williams, I think, was on the record, was like, oh, we have no plans to create a DLC or do anything expansions towards God of War Ragnarok. Like, this is the complete end of it. Noise. As we say that, though, we get a little another notification. Delicate Stone has resubscribed with their Prime. Man, we've gone for, like, no sub nonsense to, like, three in the one evening. Four in the one evening. How was, yeah, thank you, everyone, by the way. I love you.
I mean, in saying that, this doesn't mean this couldn't be like a Miles Morales style smaller.
Oh no, no, I'm not mad.
It kind of moves away from, like, obviously it's been listed or it's been rumored to be a God of War Ragnarok DLC, but it could be this completely standalone thing about Atreus or something else.
Like, yeah,
there are things that they could do that still. Move on from the finality of what Ragnarok was.
So this is what I'd want, right? And these are my options.
Two guys, a girl, and a shrunken head?
Yes. So the potential options here are we get Kratos and Freya off doing something cool, building into
a buddy cop style comedy.
Yeah, it's just them just smashing across Norse mythology, because I assume they're going to smash now. Or there is Atreus and Agrabota, also probably smashing across the Norse mythology. So there's two options. There's some options. Either you go hang over there with Kratos, hang over here with Atreus, fine. Or, like, what I would actually really like to see is a bit more, like, some background. So, like, maybe we get to see a little bit more of Brock and Sindri, sort of build them up, or even what's Sindri so doing like
a,
now.
So, like, a Tales from the Realms.
Yeah, Tales from the Realms. Like,
where you don't play as Kratos or Atreus, and you just explore the world as how others are experiencing it. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I think, yeah, having it sort of be in their own stories, sort of, you know, narrated by Mimir, that'd be pretty cool. Veldrain in the chat does jump in. They say, you don't prefer the current idea of taking years and years between God of War sequels. So when it comes to full-blown games, yes, I'm okay with there being some time between them. Now, like, I don't know whether you can see it. So, like, I've got, God of War there, God of War there. There's action figures over there. I have, like, an axe in my lounge room. I've got frames. I've got statues. Like, God of War, especially God of War 2018, is, like, one of my favorite games of all time, right? So this new version of Kratos is incredibly important to me, like, legitimately important to me. So as much as I want there to be more, I do understand that there would be a benefit of more time. And also, you know, it'd be nice for Sony Santa Monica to do something else with their time, in the same way that, you know, we look over at, like, 343 and they're just, like, now only doing, you know, only Halo shit, and they're sucking ass at it. Or even Naughty Dog. We're like, well, do you want to see Last of Us Part 3? Well, yeah, I do. But I want Naughty Dog to also do something else. You know what I mean? But that too. So, like, yeah, what I'm hoping with this would be a Tales from the Realms would be a really cool idea. I don't think they'd do it that way, but as mentioned, if it is a little standalone DLC, that in itself would be pretty cool. Possibly, I think it's very unlikely, but even we see how Kratos goes from Greek to Norse mythology, because he just kind of appears. So I think this DLC would be a great way to explain how we got from there to here. Which could then lead to, well, now you're going from there to there or here to there again. and then we can use the, if they can demonstrate the understanding of how he can switch between these realms, it sets up the idea that, well, he can now do it any time. And then the next game could be Egyptian. The next game could be feudal Japan, you know, or Japanese mythology, or not feudal, that's my bad. Or, you know, for super funsy, they wouldn't do it. But like, or even here in Australia with our First Nations people. Like, that would also be fucking rad. You know, you got the Dreamtime Serpent. Like, what if that's just not the big old snake whose name escapes me right now? Oh, fuck, what is the world serpent's name? Nope, it's gone. But yeah, I'm super keen. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm keen if they didn't make it, I wouldn't be sad about it, because I think Ragnarok ends in such a way. But now that I know this exists, I'm like, ooh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Phasmophobia has been delayed on console due to a fire.
Suspiciously supernatural fire. It didn't. It's just a straight fire. But that sucks for them.
As we spoke about earlier, Jeff Keighley can't avoid the randos. GTA 6 mega fan rushes stage during opening night live.
Okay. So we're discussing this at the start of the show. I personally think that this might be a work.
Well, Gamescom came out and said after what happened at Summer Games Fest, we have upped our security. Next minute, Bill Clinton wants to play GTA 6 on stage. Either they have the shittest security known to mankind, or they knew this was happening.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, because like we looked at what happened at California at the Game Awards, and like at least that kid wandered up with some devs, so he kind of schlunk into the crowd, where this guy just straight up walked to the stage.
Yeah.
No one stopped him. No one tackled him. No one did dick. Which either they're incredibly trusting their individuals, which is really dangerous, or yeah, it's a work. As in, like they tried to replicate that on the first one with a much older, less entertaining individual, and to maybe spill up some shitty marketing for GTA 6. I don't think it worked.
Dragon Age Dreadfall release summer 2024 at its earliest after 50 jobs cut from the developer.
Oh, that sucks for BioWare.
Yeah, poor BioWare. As I mentioned before, Lords of the Fallen has gone gold ahead of its release date. And I put this in quick bits because there's not much, but Microsoft to sell ABK streaming rights to Ubisoft in a revised deal for the CMA.
Yes, this is interesting. So in order to like diversify, like in order to meet the demands of the CMA, Microsoft have said like, all right, well, in that case, we won't handle the cloud gaming side of the acquisition in Europe or potentially worldwide. So we're going to give that to Ubisoft. And the fun part about that is that that means there may be a way for us to circumvent the ABK-ness, and just stream all these games to our console using Ubi, what's it, Play Plus?
Except it's not available here.
Oh.
Because it has the word streaming in it.
Oh, yeah.
Australians are allergic to that.
Yeah, shout out to Australia's internet, which is lame. But, yeah, like, for around the world, there might be an interesting way to circumvent it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But until...
This works on the premise that they are going to have everything as an exclusive, so we'll see.
They got to give it a red hot go. All right, but here are games that are certainly not exclusive. Well, some of them might be. Actually, some of them totally are. Here's the games that are coming soon to your PlayStation. On the 29th of August, you get Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot? Yeah, Hercule Poirot, because they're French or whatever. The London Case, PS5, PS4. Crossfire Sierra Squad, PSVR 2. Goodbye Volcano High. It's coming to PS5 and PS4. Rhapsody, Marl, Kingdom Chronicles, coming on the PS5. Sea of Stars, PS5, PS4. The Making of Karate Car, PS5, PS4. Under the Waves, PS5, PS4. On the 31st of August, you get Gourmet Warriors. How to Escape, that's the number two, by the way, because you know they're cool. Somerville, not to be confused with Farmville, coming to PS5, because if it is Farmville, if it's, yeah, I'd be more interested. Tenebris Pictura is coming to PS5 and PS4. Trine 5, A Clockwork Conspiracy, PS5, PS4. War Hospital, coming to PS5. And finally, 1st September, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Don't be confused with Cyberpunk. That game was just a bomb. Bo! PS5, PS4.
Don't forget, the Sea of Stars is launching on PlayStation Extra on the 29th of August as well.
It totally is. In the chat, Mute mentioned, yo, you still hate that school? Well, I still hate school in general. I don't have a lot of fun memories of high school. And even then, the idea of these anthropomorphized furry-esque characters in a high school doing a dating drama. Not for me. But I did say that about Bugsnax once, and turns out Bugsnax... Norman Gander! That's the name of the serpent. Whoa. Hi. I bet you that's not the answer.
Topics this week for me, Sea of Stars and Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, which I'm already playing on PC because it came out last week.
Check it out now.
It's
the Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, brother.
No, it's Jet Set Radio Future.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
Basically what it is, it's Jet Set Radio Future. It's got the same art style, it's the same open world, it's the same, you're graffitiing everything. The only difference is there's just more equipment to play on now. So instead of just being rollerblades, it's now rollerblades and bicycles and fucking skateboards and scooters, and there's just more to ride on.
They sold you on the rollerblades, didn't they?
They sold me on the fact that fucking Jet Set Radio Future was like the best game of all time. Wow. And there's no way to play it anymore because it just doesn't exist. Yeah. You can play the original Jet Set Radio via backwards compatibility on Xbox, but the game's nowhere near as good as what Jet Set Radio Future was. Mm. So yeah, good times. Good times.
It's heartbreaking. Well, anyway, thank you, everyone. That does bring us to the end of the show. And Valdrain asked, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, same date as all other platforms. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
So, yeah, thank you for taking the time to check out the show. We'll watch along, have a chat, or enjoy, and spend your day listening to us nonsense. So much, much, much thank you. But anyway, Max, you know what you got to do. Let's send it home.
Well, everybody, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, or have any ideas, topics you want to discuss, let us know. Check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, the artist formerly known as Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculture where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe to the comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com shop, where you can buy shirts or other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.